I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. We're proud to bring you this show only on IRB English Radio and, of course, in the studio as always. And, of course, in the studio, as always, I have my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Dear Zainab, happy to be here.
I'm totally excited to have you with us again so we can continue our active discussion. So we've been talking about the importance of spousal selection. Right? And not just because I'm choosing a life partner for myself. I mean, look, you want to buy a car, you go ask a bunch of people, you go to like a bunch of car dealers, you check out all of your options, you check out the features of the car, you take it for a test drive. Mm-hmm. You know, you invest so much time, money, and energy into buying a good, decent car that fits your needs, accommodates to your requirements and helps you get around. Basically, that's what a spouse is. I'm not really comparing life partner and soulmate to a car here. I'm not that inconsiderate, but I'm inconsiderate, but not that much. But I'm saying that at the end of the day, you know, we help each other out. Libasum lakum, libasun lahun. You are their garments, they are your garments, right? So when it comes to choosing a spouse, I feel like aside from your intuition, aside from falling in love, aside from that gut feeling, aside from vibing with each other, really connecting and this and that, having things in common and both liking, I don't know, Whopper Burger at Burger King and enjoying watching reruns of Friends with a bowl of popcorn every weekend, there should be like really concrete standards there. But at least you do your best to guarantee that this is going to work out.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, like, I've passed my stage of, you know, choosing a spouse. And I'm thinking about my daughter.
Oh, my God, yes.
And it is certainly one of the most sensitive decision one is going to make in life. And I'm just speechless. There's so many different things come to my mind, and I just don't know which one of them to consider or to look at.
Exactly. Just as all things, we just have to trust in God.
Yeah, trust in God. But besides that, we have to be super wise and
vigilant.
super careful. Exactly. You can just say, inshallah, you'll be good. Inshallah, she'll be good. No. Yeah. I mean, go do whatever search you can. I mean, it's a two-decade effort thing that, like, how you bring your daughter or your son up, how you work on yourself throughout the process of parenting as a mom, as a Muslim lady, or as a Muslim man, gentleman. And then the little choices that you have to make in life when your daughter or your son, like, is at the verge of getting married. Like, a close friend of ours, they have a son who's 21. He kind of fell in love with someone. And then in the past couple of days, we've been, our whole family has been involved with this situation where they've met each other for 2 months. And the girl is not that religious. I mean, like, she doesn't observe the hijab, but she's a good girl. You know, she's been brought up in a good family. She has a very caring dad who expresses his love.
Healthy relationship with the parents is
exactly.
Really good.
They're a good family, but they don't really observe so many of the, like, the hijab thing they don't observe, but they do pray, they do fast. This guy is super religious, and he's into acts of charity. He's only 21. He has like found out his path in life. He has chosen an education that, like, clearly shows him what kind of work he wants to do. He has a business besides his university. Like, he's a pretty established guy. And he does a lot of charitable acts, you know, taking food to the needy and all the time.
Voluntary work.
He's just 21 and he's doing all this, right? So we're like so happy for them that they're getting married.
So what was it about this girl that got him in love?
I don't know.
Ah, that's scary. See, sometimes they fall in love based on mutual interests and passions and goals in life. You're like, okay, they've built it on something already and it's sustainable throughout their lives. But when it's like one of those puppy love kind of moments where, you know, they just fell for each other, then it's kind of iffy. You've got to be careful about it.
I haven't talked to the boy or the girl because they didn't want to expose any of their feelings, or they didn't want other people to like get close
involved
to them. And
right.
like, yeah, they actually showed in a way that we don't want anyone except besides our parents to be in this situation. But she's a very decent girl. I mean, she has good akhlaq. Mm. She's very kind. She's very caring. You know, so she has like, and she's only 16, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's only 16. Marriage at a very young age. I mean, jeez. this is a very diverse question. It's like people have like this question that should we wait until we get like in our 30s or late 20s where we quite know what we're after, what we want in our life? Or should marriage be at a very
early
young
age?
Yeah. And then I was studying about sterility or infertility, that in the West, Western men have compared in the past 40 decades, they have become 50% less fertile. And this is a wow thing, right? And women, in their 30s, they start to have less and less fertility because of, you know, their biological and hormonal things in their body. And by the time they're 40, it's like they have lost so much of their fertility ability, right? Mm. And I'm thinking that, well, in this world that I'm living, and many people, many so-called wise and open-minded people are saying, well, you know, I think a girl should get married in her 30s and the boy in his early 40s. So the statistics, the truth out there is showing you that you're going to get extinct if you're going to continue this way, right? Mm. So on the one hand, we have this scenario. And then on the other hand, we have like people telling people that you have to get married at a young age. And this case scenario that I just explained, we got so happy. We're like, alhamdulillah, you know, these guys, this couple, you know, this boy and girl, they're so young and their parents are so supportive of them. And if things go well, they were so in love.
So if you could advise this young couple based on the discussion that we're having now in a vertical line of the points that you'd want to share, what advice would you give to them?
To move very slowly and carefully and wisely. And
how?
Do not make
like
decisions based on instinct
impulses,
and emotions.
Yeah. Right.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
This guy went to, they live in different cities.
The situation just keeps getting more and more complicated.
They
fell in love
during the Nowruz time.
The
New Year's, right?
Oh, so they kind of met at a family environment.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Oh my
it was
God.
The first time meeting each other. Oh. Guy, he's so
smitten.
He's so like firm, like he doesn't fall in love with anyone.
Oh, okay.
He's like one of those guys, he puts a ruler and then, you know, he has like clear-cut borders in his life. And then we were like, wow, he fell in love. I'm just mentioning these not as a chit-chat. Mm. I'm mentioning these as a reality because people don't want to know like this hadith only. The Rasulullah said this and this ayah in the Quran said that. You know, alhamdulillah, things are well. These are practical incidences in life. He went to her city to meet up, of course, with the families involved. And then suddenly he's like, I think I don't want her.
That's good. That's great.
Well, he's like, he doesn't know what he wants.
I think that's very, very good. Kudos to him.
And she's crying and he's crying and, you know, things are getting very complicated. I'm just saying, and the reason they encountered this problem was that because they moved very swiftly and they acted based on their based on the emotions of the two
children
of the two children. Mm. The parents were like, okay, they love each other, so let them, you know, let them meet, let them to go out. But then, you know, the parents, I think it's the problem, the mistake of the parents that allowed them to get, you know, to move so swiftly in this process. Mm. So, but, you know, now the process slowed. They're going to counselor, the two of them. They're, alhamdulillah, they can sit down and they can think more
wisely.
They have
space to themselves now, right? That's very important.
That's very good.
To define a healthy boundary, you know, because in that first few months of getting to know someone in a relationship, you could be experiencing that honeymoon phase, mm-hmm. you know, where you're falling in love. It's young love.
Exactly.
It's sweet.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. It's exciting, you know. You get this surge of oxytocin in your body and everything is just so wonderful. And you're looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. And it's really hard to pick a person apart and really have an intelligent, coherent, logical analysis mm-hmm. of their character, right?
Right.
So I think it's very important, like you said, for parents to teach and help their children,
in
for those
process.
Who advocate young marriage,
marriages.
To create those healthy boundaries, give that child a space to sit, reflect, ponder, really think whether this person and their characteristics and attributes are compatible with what I have aligned for my future.
Exactly.
Does it match? Like you said, are we pieces of the same puzzle?
Right.
Because we could be pieces of different puzzles, but because, you know, I just like the colors on her piece so much, I want to be a part of her picture. It's a possibility. I'm just saying. I mean, love is so beautiful.
Yeah.
So we've got like a minute and a half left. Let's talk more about what other thoughts and advices would you share with people in such situations.
I think three criterions that this boy had that mm-hmm. made the family of the girl to fall in love with him were three things that are actually recommended in the Islamic traditions and Islamic teachings. Number one, to be a very good-tempered person in the face of, you know, in social interactions, in family interactions, someone who is patient, someone who's not aggressive, someone who's not foul, who doesn't have a foul language, or who doesn't have a bad tongue. All these were seen in that boy that we were talking about. So these three are very important. And there is a beautiful tradition or narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that says, "Man zawwaja karimatahu min fasiq, nazala alayhi kulla yawm alfu la'na." Whoever marries his daughter,
His noble daughter
to a corrupt man, every day there will be thousands of curse upon him.
Oof.
Right? So this means the responsibility of parents. Mm. Right? It doesn't say that, you girl, you know, be careful about this. Because assuming that we have young couples, young boys and girls getting married, so we need the supervision, we need the help, we need the special care and attention of parents.
Yeah.
So they have a very great, huge responsibility.
Absolutely.
So we are talking about preconception.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, this family thing, you say, yes, I'm in the good, bad, and bad moments of your life. It goes for ages, for decades, for many years of your life, for generations,
lineage.
Right?
Yeah.
So be mindful, be very careful what you're doing.
So three criteria. One was being
good akhlaq,
uh-huh.
Not to be aggressive, not to have violence,
mm-hmm.
and not to have a bad language, bad tongue.
Yes, these are very good attributes to look for in anyone,
right.
Especially a spouse, right?
Especially a man. We're talking about a man.
Angry,
right?
Aggressive, foul-mouthed men are scary.
Exactly.
They're like borderline abusive. Actually, no, they're actually abusive.
Right.
That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you, Razia, darling.
Thank you.
And thank you for our listeners for being with us. Make sure to tune in to further episodes of the show here on IRB English Radio. Until then, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return. La
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.